this last spring, we've seen, you know, South Dakota continue to ring true to the being the land of infinite variety, and especially when it comes to our weather. We started the spring out with an exceptionally dry spring. If you were dealing with calving of livestock on the beef sector or lambing, you really enjoyed some tremendous weather for calving. But when it comes to the 2015 crops, you knew that the soil subsoil moisture was very much not there and of great concern going into late April, early May. We really didn't have a whole lot for moisture. And then that turned around. May really brought us the moisture and has brought us from being in a drought condition right back to now, a month later, just looking at the recent South Dakota crop progress report and condition, you know, we're 74% adequate in topsoil moisture across the state now. And so we've really come a long ways from where we were just a month ago. But obviously, we'd rather take that moisture when we want it. At the end of the day, we do have some great moisture out there. South Dakota is very green from corner to corner right now. But we need some warmth as the crops that were in the ground have a chance to grow. But ultimately, there's some folks that have been delayed in their planting as well just because of some of the lower-lying areas being flooded or too wet to get into.
And that's certainly a concern that we've heard already this week, especially after the rain over the weekend, is that if you did get your crops in, they may not have taken hold because the rains may have washed them away because there was so much and the water was running. With people who have had to delay planting or with people who are looking at areas that are flooded out, I understand there's still some time to replant some of the crops, but how does that affect the rest of the summer for these folks?
You know, any time there's a delayed in the planting, the calendar is still the calendar here in the growing season. You only have so many days to work with. And so between the erosion that can happen in flash flooding or from the standpoint of having seeds themselves laying in the ground in water, you know, seeds don't like wet roots. And the wet feet, so to speak, doesn't work well for seeds when they're trying to germinate and grow. And so it's about having adequate moisture, but a chance for that seed to germinate and for the roots to get set. And when they're drowned out, it just doesn't work, obviously. And so when you're looking at planting times, you know, getting the corn in the ground, that's a longer growing season. Soybeans is right behind that. And so a lot of folks try to have the corn in the ground really no later than mid to late May. And the same goes for soybeans around June 10th. Is a date that a lot of folks look to on the calendar as far as a good time to have the soybeans in order to maximize crop insurance. And so when you're looking at a May 25th date or a June 10th date for soybeans or 25th of May for corn, all of that is to say that you have options, but part of that is that you have to change up your planting strategy. And sometimes when you've procured all of your inputs, you know, if you're planning on putting on corn, but you're now too short on a growing season, you have to do something else, or you find yourself in a prevent plant situation. And so at the end of the day, it's about doing your best to work with what Mother Nature gives us on the ground to work with, but it also means that we may have to change up our planting strategy for this year. And so that can be frustration because, as you can imagine, having input costs already purchased or procured in seeds or having invested in the seed that's laying in the ground right now, and you have to go out and replant it because it drowned it out, that's very expensive and it can be very frustrating.
What are South Dakota growers telling you? Are they frustrated? Are they pretty content right now? Where are their biggest areas of concern?
Well, you know, from a month ago, I could tell you the frustration level was very much worrisome in the sense that there just wasn't any moisture. And here we are, a few weeks later, a completely different subject. And so now it's about having heat. We need the warm days to dry and to give that seed a chance to germinate and really get some growth to it. Folks that got their crops planted in April and sitting in some good areas that are well-drained are really in a nice spot. Those that are looking to replant, that can, again, like I said, it can cause frustration. But at the end of the day, without moisture, you really don't have a crop. And we can handle the wet seasons when they come at us because we sure know that we need them in order to be successful in what we do here in South Dakota agriculture. And the other side of that, not even connected to growing the crops, but, you know, frankly, we've seen the avian influenza outbreak here in the upper Midwest. And one of the things about that is we need warm, dry temperatures in order to really knock that down and try to contain any further spread of the avian influenza. And so we do need the heat. And as we look to the calendar today and the temperatures starting to go above 90 degrees, we're definitely well on our way for some growing seasons.
That avian flu, it's come up in 10 places in 9 of South Dakota's counties, and the number of birds affected, I think at last count, was something like 1.7 million is my understanding. So they have to come in, they have to dispose of all of the birds in the operation to try to prevent spreading of the disease, and then they have to clean everything out, and then that has to dry and sit, and then they can take cultures. So you're saying that once we can get some of this warm, dry weather, it can also help with our different turkey and egg operations.
Absolutely. You really got it dialed in there. When you're looking at avian influenza, it's highly pathogenic. First and foremost, we know that this is in the live bird section. It has nothing to do with the food safety of what's in the grocery store, from your eggs to your meats. Anything that's within the food supply system is safe. But anything that is dealing on the live bird side, highly pathogenic avian influenza, we understand comes through our migrating waterfowl, and it is transmitted very easily. And, you know, in South Dakota, we're very fortunate that our losses have been contained, although they're significant, you know, with over 500,000 turkeys having had to be depopulated and a very large egg-laying facility at 1.25, 1.3 million laying hens. That's a big number. But if you look at the upper Midwest as a whole, our 1.7 million birds in total is small in comparison to the 44 plus million in the upper Midwest between Minnesota and Iowa. It's just been truly a very hard thing to watch. It's been decimating to the poultry industry in the upper Midwest. And so what we have to do at this point is continue to work through our sound animal husbandry practices, our biosecurity practices, and prepare for you know, getting our barns repopulated. That's been a real big part of this, is that when it does come into a flock, our producers are absolutely on top of things by making sure that they alert the authorities, making sure that they can get tied into the indemnity program through the USDA, because the USDA only helps offset the cost of live birds. And so from that standpoint, it motivates any producer that might be experiencing losses to get on top of it as quickly as we can. And so that's working with the Animal Industry Board here in South Dakota, our state veterinarian, Dr. Dustin Odekoven, just a fantastic team of leaders here on the ground within the state, but also coordinating very effectively with the USDA counterparts for our Animal Plant and Health Inspection Service. And so all of that is a huge part of how we continue to have the most safe and secure food supply in our country, is the fact that we're able to have practices in place to contain and do our very best to eradicate problems within each food sector when they come up. And avian influenza right now, it's a very difficult task that we have at hand. The warm, dry weather will help, and we sure hope that this becomes something of the past. But you know, as the migratory birds gather through the summer season, we're concerned that what the H5N2 might morph into, if there's anything else that might be another strain that comes back later this fall.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting, talking with South Dakota Secretary of Agriculture Lucas Lensch. And Mr. Secretary, warm, dry weather, good for crops, good to try to stave off the avian flu and get producers back in line. Not necessarily as good when it comes to preventing wildfire. I know today U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack is talking about the threat of wildfire across the nation. What does South Dakota's outlook look like here in June?
You know, we're doing a lot better than we were. Back earlier this year, we were starting to see a lot of the grassland fires. Within the Department of Agriculture, we have the Wildland Fire Division. We also have our Resource Conservation and Forestry, our Ag Services Division, Ag Development, and the State Fair Park. But with those five divisions, the wildland firefighters are very much a part of the Department of Ag. And as we work with our team on the ground, they also can deploy out of state. It's really been the moisture. You know, we've been very blessed to have had the moisture in western South Dakota specifically to help knock down the threat of a fire in the Black Hills. But as you can imagine, you know, with the rain comes great fuel. And what I mean by that is the grasslands that grow and the trees that grow, everything that's growing on the ground from year to year creates more and more fuels on the ground. And when it gets dry, it creates a lot of potential for fire. And so that's why when a Secretary Vilsack is talking about this, or as we look at our drought monitors throughout the United States, specifically the West, we can really see the leading indicators that will tell us that we're going to have a fire season ahead of us. But here in South Dakota, we're sitting pretty good, but that doesn't mean that things won't dry out through the summer, and we'll be right back into a significant fire season this fall. So you can typically see a dry spring or a dry fall where the risk for fire can get quite a bit.
What about the heat when it comes to livestock? I think I know I have a tendency to ask more questions about crops and prices and growing, but we have a significant number of ranchers across the state. How are they looking as we enter summer?
You know, again, we had a tremendous 2014 in terms of our beef cattle prices. A lot of reinvestment has happened this last winter on our farms and ranches, specifically around livestock handling facilities and equipment. As we hit 2015, the rain has been really complementary for our pasture lands with the dry calving season. So we have, with the 1.6 million mama cows out there across South Dakota having baby calves this year. We have a lot of cattle that are out on grass right now with baby calves at their sides doing really well. And, you know, with that moisture has come some pasture lands that are really turning nice and green. But when you think about when the moisture came, everything's running about 3 weeks behind in terms of where it should be. I was just talking to a producer testing alfalfa hay, and that alfalfa hay doesn't look like the 1st of June. It really looks more like middle of May in terms of what it normally would be at in terms of a growth stage. And so the grass is coming online, but because of the cool, wet May that we had, everything's maybe just a little bit shorter. But with the heat, that will turn around with that adequate moisture in the topsoil to really bring on the rangeland.
South Dakota's agricultural sector, we always hear people say ag is our number one industry. So when you try to boil it all down and sum it up for people, if they say, how's the ag industry? How can you respond to that sort of a question? What's the takeaway?
You know, one of the most important things that we see in South Dakota agriculture is a continued momentum on diversifying what it is that we raise here and how we add value to it. You know, agriculture being number one in South Dakota, in the most recent studies that we took a deep dive on, it's $25.6 billion of economic impact here in the state. And if for easy math, if you thought about half of that being livestock and half of that being crop production, essentially when we raise our crops, our corn and our soybeans, and the alfalfa hay that we raise, the forages that we raise, all of that is the feedstuff that can also go into livestock. And so when we look at our livestock sector, whether it's the dairy development efforts that we've had here in the state, our 100,000 dairy cows, or our 1.65 million beef cattle, all of that is how we can add value to what we raise here by feeding it and harvesting it here within the state as best that we can. You look at our lambing industry, and all of the growth that we continue to see in the sheep area. You know, livestock truly is one of the most important things that we could have here in the state of South Dakota to continue to add value to what we raise, because what's happening is that science and technology and the inputs, the crop production products that we're able to use, our seed technology that's going into the ground, we really are able to raise more with less of an impact on our soils. We're able to conserve our natural resources, get the most out of every drop of rain, and also get the most out of every crop production product that we use to raise that crop. And so when you have a diversified ag economy like South Dakota has with the livestock sector and our ethanol sector and anything that would be adding value back to our farms and ranches and our main streets across rural South Dakota, that's how we continue to have a robust ag economy here in our state. But we can't take it for granted. You know, it's one of the things about doing agriculture is that it's never stood still. And while we've seen the commodity prices go from being very high to, frankly, very low, and we're working through the cost of production right now, we've also seen a robust recovery in the beef cattle prices. And so having that diversified ag portfolio, it's no different than having a diversified retirement portfolio. When you put your money into the nest egg for retirement, you want it diversified. Well, you want the same in your economy across the state as well.